A sense of awe and wonder surrounding Christ's birth. The story of Jesus told and retold every year, here and everywhere around the globe, drives us to look more closely every year just how magnificent, how mysterious, how wondrous the message of Jesus and how divine it is of his birth, and helps us think about our own stories. You know, who are we? What are we? How do we? Where in the midst of our questions is this Emmanuel, this God with us? Our Christmas focus this year, if you've been with us for a couple, 3 weeks now, we have been focusing on, first of all, spend less. That was the suggestion. And it didn't work real well at our house, but maybe you did better at that. Spend less because of the economy and what's going on. Well, it's just true. Even though God spent generously unto us, and we should spend that way as well in kindness and in goodness and grace and so forth. And then last Sunday, we can still give more. Even though you spend less, you can give more. That is, more of yourself to others, like God did for us. He gave more than any of us could possibly give. We should give more of ourselves to our family and to others around us. And then on Christmas Eve, it was great to have you with us and a big crowd here. It was always a great moment, I think, and a fun time to see the families and the family of God come together. We thought about worship fully and took a cue from the characters surrounding the infant king, who every time, every one of them, you think about Mary and Joseph and shepherds and wise men, and every time, every one of them, their response was worship. Genuine, humble acknowledgement of God's unbelievable story, grace to give us his son. So we should worship fully. Seems like a really appropriate moment this morning to think about love all, loving all. That is to recognize this amazing gift of the Father in sending his Son to us as a gift of love for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the gift, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Love. Genuine love is something that defies definition. Yet it is so foundational to our faith. It seems to me that words have often eluded great writers, poets, from analyzing love, explaining love, defining love. But where words often fail us, love speaks best when it is shown in action. A few days ago, we were at Denver International Airport, along with a whole bunch of other people. And we were there early. Nobody's ever surprised by that. We were there early, and we were waiting for Tamara to come in. We were excited, and we were anticipating showing her some love in action, and I think we did. It was wonderful, back and forth. And we stood there for, I don't know, half an hour, Kath and I, before. She was on time. But before all that happened, we watched a bunch of scenes around us of love in action. I noticed that over to the right of us was a group of, I'm going to say, 30 volunteers greeting all of our soldiers. And I read in the Denver Post the next morning what was really going on. They had organized a bunch of volunteers to come all weekend long, all the celebration time of Christmas, and welcome men and women in uniform and make them feel good when they came up those escalators into that great atrium room there that they've got. It was beautiful. And these people, one by one, were so surprised. You know, I thought at first, you know, they were greeting certain ones, waiting for certain people, but it was anybody in the service was greeted warmly with some hugs, applause, and signs. Thank you for your service. Thank you. Merry Christmas. It was love in action. Standing to the left of us was a grandma and grandpa, obviously waiting for their family. And we never did get into any conversation. They were really watching closely. All that other stuff was going on. They didn't care about that other stuff. They were watching for one little family with kiddos, because here they came, and they just left where we were and around that little gate thing that's there, and then went around and hugged them and said, "Oh, my kids are here," and they loved, and they had a great, they were showing love in action. They didn't really need to say anything. They were showing it, demonstrating it. Whenever we see love in action, our hearts cannot help but understand what love is. Love is such a universal language. When expressed in a genuine way, words aren't even necessary. And as we see in a familiar passage here this morning, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, if you brought your scripture with this morning, 1 Corinthians 13, some of you know the whole chapter by heart. Some of us do not. So we'll turn and look at it together. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. You'll see Paul, in his first letter here to these believers, explains that nothing is complete without love. Unfortunately, we love too little and we love too seldom. And on this occasion, the end of another Christmas season, we need a gentle reminder of what it means to love others, to love all, as God has loved all of us. Chapter 13, verse 1, If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all of my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. What amazing analogies. His first statement seems to measure the importance of love against the gift of communication. If any of us knew the language of angels, the language of heavenly beings that are surrounding the very, very throne of God, or if we possessed the unique skills to capture the attention of thousands of people in an audience somewhere. Eloquent, gifted words, but there's no love in it. It amounts to nothing. Pointless, meaningless. No amount of giftedness can substitute for love. Ephesians 4 is a great passage that encourages us to speak the truth in love. Truth without love is cruel at worst and empty at best. If I confront somebody with words that I'm trying to offer, but I don't do it with a spirit of love in me, I shouldn't be surprised to find them injured rather than healed. Loveless communication helps nobody. If I attempt to comfort somebody in pain, without love in my heart is my motivation, my words will only cause more sorrow than if I had just stayed away. It's the importance of love against the gift of communication here on earth or even in heaven. Paul's second statement seems to measure the value the importance of love against spiritual giftedness and even maturity. Look it, if I had the gift of prophecy, that'd be impressive, wouldn't it? To know things about the future. If I had the gift of prophecy or knew everything about the mysteries of God, man, that'd be wonderful to know a few of those things from Him. Or had knowledge, all knowledge, to understand everything that's going on and why, wouldn't that be great? Or had faith to move mountains. I don't know what that's like. That's a lot of faith, I guess. But have no love in it, we are nothing. Think of it, nothing. The word that Paul uses no fewer than 9 times in this chapter is the word agape. Rarely found outside of the Scripture. Probably because the meaning is so unique to the kind of love that we can experience with God that he had Paul choose this word. The Greeks had other words. They had a word for physical love, eros. We've messed that one up big time, and we have the word in English, erotic. And so it's a nasty thing. It just meant to the Greeks a physical love between a man and a woman, and it was good. It still is. Eros. Then there was their word phileo. That was a warm affection for deep friendships. The kind of love I'm sure that we will see evidenced in the Bronco game this afternoon. With the phileo Eagles. Philadelphia, that's the word. It's the city of what? Brotherly love. Oh, I hope they'll be nice. But I doubt it. I doubt it. But agape? Agape was a word seldom used or understood by almost anybody. Here's why. In my library, I have Nelson's Expository Dictionary of the Bible. And I'm just going to quote this from it for you. This word, agape, describes a love that is based on the deliberate choice of the one who loves rather than the worthiness of the one who is loved. That's so different from any other kind of love. It's God's love. This kind of love goes against natural human inclination. It is giving, selfless, expect nothing in return kind of love. Was that evidence this Christmas? I wonder. Our modern throwaway society encourages us to get rid of people in our lives who are difficult to get along with, whether they are friends or family, yet this attitude runs in complete contrast to the love described by Paul. True love puts up with people who would be easier to give up on, unquote. Oh, that's good, and that's just so right. Paul needed a term beyond the terms the Greeks used in conversation of everyday life. And he chose one in its highest, purest form of love. It has to be God's love. It's divine love. And he chose it, agape. To describe the love of God in Jesus, a love that encourages us to demonstrate in action with one another right here. Even as God at Christmas demonstrated us. And here in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul gives us more than a dozen characteristics of that love. Some are described kind of positively. Love is. Others are negative. Love is not. Love is not this. Love is not that. But each one is worth a thought on its own as we evaluate the strength and quality of the love we should show to all. And as I just mentioned them, I challenge you to ask yourself 2 questions with each characteristic. First, how am I doing in that area? You don't have to answer out loud. I hope you don't. But will you think, how am I doing in that area? And second, how would the behavior of others change if my love included that or that? Here we go. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or arrogant. Love is charming. That is, it does not act unbecoming. That's what I have here. It does not seek its own. It is not rude or crude, but is tactful and courteous or extremely pleasant. Love is not easily provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. In other words, genuine love, God's love, divine love to all, isn't fragile. Agape applies lots of grace to every relationship. It leaves lots of room for others to fail. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Sometimes we must tell the truth, even though the truth is not pleasant. The truth may be something difficult to hear about myself, which will require all the courage I can gather just to accept that and understand that. Your trust will be put to a test, Paul says. Listen, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Those are a few of the characteristics of agape, sacrificial love of the Father to us. At Christmas, He loved all. Love, like glue, has the potential to create a bond, but only when released from its container. You want something to stick? You have to apply it. Authentic, godly, agape love is demonstrative. So, as you and I conclude our Christmas season together, and having thought about what it might be like to spend less and give more and worship fully, let's also love each other and love all as God has loved us. And as we seek to do that, I have three rather simple but often difficult to display suggestions. One, say it. And say it often. I'm not always sure why, but most of us have a tendency to keep compliments and affirmations and other expressions of love and appreciation bottled up inside of us, sometimes for months, sometimes for years, and we don't let it out. Don't wait. Don't wait before it's too late. Why not tell those in your life right now how much you love them and appreciate them? Why not do that now while our words and our hearts can help explain and demonstrate that we mean it when we say, I love you? We don't have to be eloquent about it. We just have to be sincere, just genuine. I've heard people say to me before, and you've heard it too, that, you know, my family, my friends, they know I love them. I don't need to say it. They know it. No, say it. When was the last time they heard you say, I love you? I love you. In my years of ministry, and there have been many, I don't believe I've ever met someone who regretted saying, I love you, too many times. So say it. And say it often. God did. Second, risk it and risk it often. I know that this can be a tough one for many of us. I do. You may have a long history of people taking advantage of your good, kind nature. You're stepping on your heart often. Perhaps the idea of being vulnerable again seems way too risky for you. To love without reservation, well, it hurt before. It's too risky for me now. But love and risk cannot be separated. Understand the great promise of God that He will not allow you to suffer more than you can manage. I didn't say that. I wouldn't be able to say that. God said that. He would not put you through more than you can handle with Him, with His help. Pain is likely, if you choose to love His way. But there's really no alternative. Risk it and risk it often. And finally, do it and do it often. Start now. Sometime back, Senator Paul Tsongas, you remember that name? Was diagnosed with cancer. A friend wrote to him affirming his decision not to seek re-election. And he put a note in there that has been used in the press a lot since that time. He wrote to his friend, I'm glad you're not going to be seek re-election because of what you're going through. Because no man ever said on his deathbed, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. Probably true. I've never heard it. Quite the contrary. I've heard people say, I wish I'd said I love you more. I wish I'd demonstrated it more. Don't wait till tomorrow. The enemy would just love to lull us into some sort of complacency, always believing that another time, under different circumstances, will be so much easier. If I can just arrange for this or that, or whatever, No, do it now. Do it now. There will never be a time more convenient than today to tell somebody I love you. So say it. Risk it. Do it. God did. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God said, I love you so much, He put His hands and arms out on a cross to love us and demonstrate love to all. We can do that. We can all do that today and the rest of this year coming up. Love one another even as God has loved us. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thanks for demonstrating agape so many times to me and to us. Give me courage to say it often, risk it, and do it. You did. I have rich eternal life with you because of it. Life forever and ever. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for sending the gift of your loved, only loved Son to live and die for me as a gift. Help me show love in action myself today in your wonderful, beautiful, the name of Jesus, the Christ child, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.